Our sermon this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 36. We'll be looking at verses 36 through 38. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Pray with me. Our God, help us now as we understand your word, as we understand what you are saying to us. Help us to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Help us to throw down every vain speculation that is raised up against your knowledge, that we would think rightly, we would feel rightly, and we would live aright in this dark and fallen world. Help us now, O God, and be glorified. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A beautiful woman. A beautiful woman. What flies into your mind at that statement? Some say we always think in pictures. Do you see something? What is it? As we look here, we are given a picture of a beautiful woman. At different places where we go, we may expect to see a beautiful woman, depending on our definition, depending on what it means. Years ago, when we were going to the beach and I sat down and had a talk with my family about what we were going to see there, we went to the Proverbs and we started talking through the Proverbs, and we were looking at the need to guard our hearts, the need to look straight ahead, because as we were going there, maybe we were going to see, or we most certainly were going to see, things that were immodest, things that the world would call beautiful. In my life, I have had a number of striking examples of beautiful women in my life. As my grandmother is getting older, and they've had to clean out her house, and they've pulled out all the old photo albums, and I sat down and I started looking through the old photo albums, and I came across a picture of my great-grandmother, and I was actually taken aback by what she looked like, because she didn't look like what I remembered. I remembered a beautiful woman when I knew my great-grandmother, but as I looked at these pictures, and I saw a woman who looked really haggard, wore out, exhausted, and deeply burdened. I didn't see what I had expected to see. This past week, I had the wonderful opportunity to visit Madge Adams at the RP home. And you know, I saw a beautiful woman there. She had such joy, and she had such grace. She was truly a beautiful woman. In our lives, as we consider what flies into your mind when you think of a beautiful woman or a beautiful person, this description that we are given here of Anna, she was advanced in years. Does your mind say beautiful at that moment? And she had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple. Does your mind say beautiful? She was serving night and day. Does your mind say beautiful? Serving with fasting. Does your mind say beautiful? Serving with prayer. Does your mind say beautiful? And she went about and she continued to speak of him, that is, of Christ, to all those who were looking for the redemption of Israel. Does your mind say beautiful? It's a sad thing how influenced our flesh is. We should know and understand and believe that we can go to a nursing home and walk through and see more beauty there than we would see on the beach. There's a truth and there is a reality to the heart that is a servant's heart. A reality to a heart that's moved by prayer, a heart that's moved by fasting, a heart that is moved by testifying and speaking of Christ. So with this in mind, we are set to look at ourselves and to look at our lives and ask, does my life say beauty? The beauty that matters. The beauty that is actually eternal. Do I live, do I love, and do I invest in these ways? So we look here, and if you have your outline, we see six things that are laid out here. It's service, night and day, or rather five things. And fasting, and prayer, giving of thanks, and telling people about Jesus or testifying. These are the things that are shown as beauty. And we look at our lives and ask, is my life about service night and day? Most of our mothers would say, yep. Yep. But then, is my life about fasting? Is my life about prayer? Is my life about giving of thanks? Is my life about testifying about Jesus? We can look and see then and ask, is my life about a worldly beauty that will come to nothing? Or is my life about a heavenly beauty that truly gives honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? So as we look through these things, and these are five things that could easily be memorized by any of us, and there it's laid out here in just two verses. And I urge you all, at least throughout this day, to look back at these verses, to look at these five things that are laid out in just two verses, and to seek your life, seek to make your life this beautiful service, a loving servant of Jesus Christ. Our first step, number one, is serve where you are. Serve where you are. Verses 36 and 37, and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. I think if we looked around and we were trying to find somebody with an excuse not to serve, we just did. I am too old. I am too old to serve. I'm a widow. I'm broken. The Lord has forsaken me by taking away my husband. Each one of us can look at our lives and we can list any number of inconvenient situations and circumstances that we have been put into. I cannot serve because my life is too inconvenient. Some of us may look at our lives and say, I can't do it. I homeschool. Some of us say, I can't do it. I have to work outside the home. Some of us would look at our lives and say, I can't do it for this reason. I cannot do it for that reason. And some of us might even use the excuse, I am too old. Some of us may say, I am too young. I cannot do it. We look at this woman, Anna, this beautiful woman, and we see the work that she did despite her circumstances. She could have said, I am a woman, I cannot serve. I am a widow, I cannot serve. We look at all the great workers of Scripture, and Paul could have said, I killed Stephen, I cannot serve. Some of us would look at our own lives and lay out or put our own sins there and say, I cannot serve because I have done these things. Peter could have looked and said, I betrayed Jesus. I cannot serve. Others could look and say any number of things. Each of us can have our excuses. But we see that God places you exactly where you are. Exactly where you are, exactly with everything that you have. As Ephesians 2:10 says, you are God's workmanship, or his poem. It's also a very good translation. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that he prepared, that you could and would walk in them, is the idea. You are here now, made as God has planned you to this moment for the good works on the path that he has laid out for you in front of your life, right where he has planted you. And a part of this big picture is we all have the opportunity to be beautiful, to be amazing, to do those great things that God has laid out for us to do. So this brings us to our second step, which is serve night and day. Serve night and day. Verse 37, and then as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, serving night and day. There must be a place for us to be able to do this. There must be. I know a number of us, maybe even all of us, we come to the end of the day and we are exhausted. We come and we get home and we just want to fall down and put on the TV and watch something. Just leave me alone. Just let me alone. Just let me get away from everything. We see this work, and I can promise you that there is an endurance that is built. There is an endurance that is built in our life. We learn to do things, and things can actually become natural to us. Serving can actually become natural to you. It's a thing that we learn, a thing that we get stronger at. A friend of ours, they have a child who's not much of a runner, and the mother's not much of a runner either. And they recently posted on Facebook that they've gotten a program together. It's a 5K from the couch to the track, it's called. That the assumption is that this is where you've been. You've been on the couch. You don't have anything you feel that, like, you have to offer at this moment. And it says, look, there are ways that we move from where we are to where we would actually be. And how is endurance gained? All you need is this pill that I'm selling. Doesn't that sound great? Wouldn't that be great? Endurance is gained by doing the hard things. It is the reality of it. Endurance is gained by doing the hard things. The first step to doing the good things I take from Proverbs 16:3, which is, commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. I'll take that as a principle. I don't often take the Proverbs as promises, that if you do this, then these great things will happen to you. But I usually take it as a principle. But here I'm this close to taking this as a promise. If you actually commit your works to the Lord, if you could actually get up in the morning and you think about what an amazing day would be, what would a beautiful day in the sight of the Lord be today? And you say, these are the things that I believe the Lord would have me do. So I will do these things. I have every confidence and every expectation that the Lord will establish that path for you that day to be beautiful. To be beautiful. Not many of us at this stage in our lives get to go and look in the mirror and say, beautiful. Beautiful. For those of you who still can, it's not going to last. It's not going to last. The word, the glory has departed, I've told you before, is Ichabod. Ichabod. Go ahead and you can process that. And some of us already think that when we look in the mirror, don't we? Ichabod. The glory has departed. But there is a beauty that extends beyond your physical form. There is the beauty that is the beauty of a servant of Christ Jesus. This brings us to our next step, and I'm just dropping this on you. This could be a series. But this next step is simply fast. Fast. We see this beautiful woman in her practice, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting. What is this idea of fasting? And I think as long as I've been here, we have not called a fast. We have not called a fast, and we need to. We need to be calling fasts in our denomination. That has happened since I've been here. We need to be calling fasts in our congregation. We need to be calling fasts in our household. You need to be calling a fast for yourself as an individual in your life. I probably turned you off sooner than I should have there with dropping that on you. We look and see, and most of us would probably ask the question, as it is not our practice, why would I fast? Why would I stop eating? We see that it is the expectation of Christ in Matthew 6:16. He actually says, whenever you fast or when you fast. It is the expectation that God's people will have a process in their life in which they will be, and I'll just put it in the bleakest term, giving up food. Sounds pretty bad. Giving up food. Food's necessary. For some of you, it's just as startling as saying giving up air, perhaps. But giving up food is given as the example. We had read in Jeremiah or Joel 2 this morning what God was calling for. He says, yet, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart and with fasting. That this is a principle that has been laid out. And Jesus doesn't say that fasting thing is done. He said that fasting thing, what I told you about before, that fasting thing that we laid out in Joel, this fasting thing that is tied to salvation, that it is tied to the life that you are going to have. Do this thing. In John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. So here's what fasting is. Fasting is making your physical body yield to your spirit. It's telling your body, you don't rule here. You don't rule here. You're not the boss. All of us who have moved beyond the age of 13, I would say, have experienced the problem of having yielded to our body. As if it were the authority, as if it were the rule. Our soul has cowered to our flesh at different points in our lives. Most of us know the grief and sorrow that comes from having made that mistake and having known that weakness. This is the other side. This is the other side where we say to our bodies, you are not in charge. I have the ability, I have the strength to beat you. I can stand in Christ Jesus and cause you to yield to my spirit. I can cause you to yield to God's word. To be in life and to be able to walk through this world and to deny yourself the very fuel that makes your body alive. To say no to those things and demand that it be so is a strengthening exercise. I have found in my own life that if I can tell my body no, you may not have food. I can tell my body no about anything. So for us, what does a fast mean? Or for you, what does a fast mean? And some of us are on medications. Some of us are on medications and we are told that we have to have food with our medications. I promise you, you can find something that you hate that your body will not say yes, thank you to, that you can take with your medication and still be telling your body no and still be mastering your body. It is in those moments in your life where you come to the middle of the day in a fast and your body starts complaining. You'll hear it growl. And you go to the scripture and say, I live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God and not on bread alone. You beat your body. You make it your slave. We fast because Christ has told us to, and it is his expectation. We fast because this is beautiful. We fast because we walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. We fast because we wage war, not with carnal weapons, but weapons that are made mighty in the Lord. So you find yourself weak in spirit. Strengthen it by beating your body, by overcoming it, by fasting and being beautiful. Our next step in this beautiful life, number four, is pray without ceasing. It's a scripture and it has become cliche in a lot of circles, to pray without ceasing. But we see that this was the work of the widow, Anna. Luke 2:37, and then as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and with prayer. That pray without ceasing is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And the idea behind praying without ceasing is to live in the place and be active in the place where you realize he's actually always there. He's actually always there. The strength of your salvation is always present. You're never alone. My great aunt Wilda, who has gone to be with the Lord, she would say that we were taught as children that the Holy Spirit is closer than your very breath. Closer than your very breath. Christ is closer than your very breath. He is near you at all times. And this puts us in the place where it is completely proper to speak to him. If we look at our lives and think, wait, he was with me all that time? And I never spoke to him. We could say we actually live lives in which we ignore God in large portions. So if we are aware of his presence, if we know that he is always with us, we are in this place to talk to him continuously. Our next step, number five, is to give thanks. To give thanks. Luke 2:38, at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to the Lord and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Israel. Her response to seeing Jesus and knowing who he was to give thanks. And we can think of this in terms of our worship, our weekly worship, morning and evening. We can think of this in terms of our prayer life. We can think of this also in terms of our interaction with one another. We can think of this in terms of our interaction with the lost. That we are in the place to constantly give thanks. And this touches on that same passage, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. On the outside edges, in verses 16 and 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You see how this moves into that picture of the beautiful day and being that beautiful person in Christ's eyes. So all of this combines, folds together into a beautiful package that has resulted in giving thanks, which is worship, and results in testifying. And this is our sixth step. Tell people about Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. Verse 38. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Speaking about him continually. Now, talking about the idea of why we talk about Christ or why we witness, you know, the two greatest commandments, love God and love your neighbor, right? If we love him, we are seeking to serve him and to do what he says. If we love him, we are seeking to see him be glorified. That is, for people to be living lives that demonstrate Christ's love, that demonstrate Christ's authority. That's how we glorify him, in keeping his commands. When we keep his commands, we demonstrate love for him, flowing from his love for us. We demonstrate his authority in our lives. You might think of Joseph when he was being tempted in the flesh. And he said, how could I do this thing and sin against my God? He was giving glory in the midst of temptation. Well, we look and we are brought to the place from walking in this beautiful life to speaking about Christ. This morning in Sabbath school, as we were talking about sharing the gospel and testifying, we came to 1 Peter 2:9, where it makes this statement upon the church. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We see the purpose for your salvation. To proclaim how excellent Christ Jesus is. And how excellent is he? How excellent is he in your life? Think of the news, that good news. Well, think of the good news that we've given about people. Yesterday, we got to go to a graduation party. Amazing. It was an amazing graduation party. Members of the family stood up. And they graciously spoke of their love and their affection towards one another in Christ Jesus. I was blown away. I was blown away by the parents' love and respect for their children, the children's love and respect for their parents. I was blown away by the love and respect between the siblings. I was amazed. And I am very happy to talk about it. Tomorrow, when I go to the Memorial Day picnic at Great Uncle Charles's Lake, I look forward to talking about it because I saw something amazing. I saw something beautiful. In our lives, we have seen things that we have found amazing. We have seen things that we found beautiful. You've actually seen things happen. And you thought, I cannot wait to tell someone about this, what I have just seen. Which of us, if we saw a big car accident on the way in, wouldn't have came in and said, you wouldn't believe what I just saw? We've been happy and eager to give a report. We would talk about it tomorrow at the picnic. You wouldn't believe what I just saw. What about something the opposite of a car wreck? What about something amazing? What if you saw a car crash and you saw a police officer run and go to a burning car, grab someone while being burned and pull them out? We would have been rejoicing, amazed. We would have came in and we would have told everybody about what we saw. We would tell everybody about it tomorrow at the picnic. What if it was you that was rescued? Who would you tell? Everybody. Everybody. We would marvel about it. Well, we look and we see that we were saved for this purpose. He went to the cross. If we take that and put it next to pulling somebody out of a burning car and getting burned, pulling somebody out of a burning car and getting burned is nothing compared to what the cross was. Nothing compared to it. The rescue that you have received is so magnificent. It is so amazing. It is His excellence that was demonstrated in your salvation. And you have been saved for this purpose to proclaim how excellent He is. And then, though, instead of us doing that, we forget about Him. We forget about Him. We forget about Him daily. It's actually the practice in our lives to forget about Him and to forget about our great rescue. How do we forget about people? And would I say that He's not significant to you? I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to say that. We forget about people that are significant to us. Those of us with larger families, we have forgotten children. That doesn't mean we don't love our kids. It just means, I wasn't thinking about them, or they weren't talking loud enough at the moment, or they're the quiet one, and they're easy to forget, right? But in a relationship, though, if we have the kind of relationship that's being described here, this beautiful life, if we're living a life of fasting, are you going to forget about Jesus? You're not. You're not. As your stomach growls, you are going to remember Jesus. You might even, if your head's in the right place, to think about 40 days in the wilderness waiting to be tempted by Satan. You'll remember. If you're living a life where you're practicing His presence, remember that He is always with us, praying without ceasing. Are you going to forget about Him? You're not. If you're living a life of service, night and day, doing what you do, committing your ways to Him, are you going to forget about Him? You're not. You see, this beautiful life, it all comes together to a place of worship, exalting in who He is and what He has done, and proclaiming it to others. And that's a beautiful life. That's a beautiful life. That's a life that's not going to matter when your hair falls out. That's a life that's not going to matter when you decide, bathing suit, no, never again. Maybe in the new heavens and new earth. It doesn't matter. It's a beautiful life that will actually last forever. You want to be beautiful? Do you want to be beautiful? Do you want to be beautiful forever? You want to be beautiful today. It's about committing your ways to the Lord, having Him establish them, knowing that He has already prepared good paths for you to walk in Him, in them, to live as His poem, to live as His piece of artwork, and to shine for Him. So this morning, I am inviting every one of you to be beautiful, to actually be beautiful today and forever. Pray with me. Lord, we continue to rejoice in all the good that You have reserved for those who love You. Father, help us now to commit our ways to You, to look and to see what a beautiful life is, even a beautiful day is, and to commit ourselves to these things that You will be most glorified in our daily fellowship with You, in our daily speaking of You and to You. Thank You, God, for all of the good You have reserved for those who love You. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.